Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the chance that a child in Marion County will go to bed hungry tonight? Let's go in depth with Julie Miller, coordinator of the Women, Infants, and Children's Program at Marion County Public Health. Julie, when the government talks about people being hungry, they use the term food insecurity. That just means hungry, right?
Yeah, there's an official definition, and food insecurity is the inability to consistently access the adequate amount of nutritious food needed for a healthy life.
Okay, it means hungry.
Yes.
And so how many people are hungry in America? Do we know that?
A lot. As a nation, 50 million people are food insecure, and 17 million of those are children.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is.
And how about Marion County?
For Marion County, 19.1% of our children are food insecure. That is about 1,500 children. And within the county, 50% of those kids are eligible for nutrition programs such as SNAP, which is the food stamp program, or WIC.
So out of the next five kids I see, one of them is food insecure.
Yes.
That means that they might not have a meal tonight?
Correct.
It's really that high?
It is really that high.
And for some reason, most of these kids are invisible, at least to a lot of us, aren't they?
Yeah, I would think the kids who are five and under, like the kids that we serve through our program, you don't really see as often. Teachers, educators, principals, superintendents within the school district can tell you that they see a lot more of that, you know, at that level, because the kids are always hungry. So they're probably more familiar with it than most of the general public would be.
Do we know why families go hungry? I mean, I don't expect you to answer that question, but does the profession say there are general reasons why?
No, I would just guess that the economy has an awful lot to do with that. You know, there are folks without jobs and folks who have been without jobs for a long time, and lots of families who are struggling to put food on the table at this point with increased food costs and increased gas costs and increased costs of pretty much everything. It makes it hard to make sure they have enough to eat.
And is this a long-term trend, or is it something that's just happened recently?
I could not find any research to support that, but I think it's been going on for a while. It's just that it's now starting to come to everyone's attention because it is getting to be such a large concern.
And so all these kids that are hungry in school, they're not learning like they're supposed to.
No, they're not. There's been some research done that hunger in childhood can impact cognitive development, so it can alter a child's brain, which will affect how they learn things, how they retain things, how they grow and develop, which is pretty serious consequences for our kids. You know, we want them to grow up to be healthy and well-adjusted and have a great life, and they're not going to have a great life if they are hungry and their brain is, you know, not able to function like it's supposed to.
And the teachers see this every day, don't
yes, they? Yes, they do. I'm sure they do.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about hunger in Marion County with Julie Miller, coordinator of the Women, Infants, and Children's Programs at Marion County Public Health. Marion County Public Health, through the government, has programs to help these hungry kids, right?
We have the WIC program, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children. That's its official name. So we see kids ages 0 to 5, pregnant women, breastfeeding women, and postpartum women up to 6 months. So that's who we see, and that tends to help ease some of that burden for those families.
Okay, and so a lot of them are on food stamps.
Yeah,
okay,
a lot of them are.
Where do you get food stamps?
That you have to apply through your DHS office. So I believe in Marion County they have to contact the Warren County office since all that relocation, which was a year or two ago. And we have those numbers here at the office. So if somebody needs to reach somebody through DHS to do that application, they can just give us a call. Or I believe you can do it online also.
And so WIC just supplements that. It helps out the families.
Right. It provides them groceries. The SNAP program, I'm not real familiar with how that all works. I just know based on the family's income and household size, they get a set amount of dollars every month that they can use at the store to purchase groceries. Through the WIC program, it's a little bit different. It is based on the amount of people living in the home and the amount of income coming in the home, but we have prescribed foods, I guess you could call them, set foods that we give to each client based on their participant type. So a baby's obviously not going to get, you know, grown-up food, but they get formula and baby food and cereal. And a child gets a little bit different food package than a mom does, just because, you know, it's a child and not a grown-up. But we are specific in what kinds of foods we can provide to ensure that we are providing adequate nutrition for these clients that we see.
Okay, so people show up and you hand them food.
No, we hand them, once they complete an appointment, they get checks.
Checks.
Paper checks that they use at the store, and they list the foods on them. They're not brand specific, but they are type specific as to what kind of foods they can buy and the quantity. So they come and see us, and they get these paper checks for 3 months at a time. So, for example, if somebody comes in this month for an appointment, which is September, they'll get checks for September, October, and November, and then they'll come back and see us in December to get new ones. Right now, we're on a paper system. They've always been on a paper system since the program started in the 70s, but we are going to go to that EBT system pretty soon, within the next 5 to 10 years, which is that swipe card, like the food stamp card uses, like a debit card.
And are they going to be different cards or all going to be on the same
different
card?
Different cards, yes, different cards. Mm-hmm. Okay. But that will make it a lot easier for folks to shop in the future.
Okay, but they're unlike food stamps. There's only certain kinds of healthy foods that they can get.
That's right.
With under WIC.
Right.
So things like bread, milk, cereal.
Mm-hmm. They are very specific. The bread has to be whole grain approved. The cereal, they're very specific on that too. We have certain types that you can buy, and they are limited by whether they're whole grain or not whole grain, how much sugar they've got in them, those kind of things. They really watch that. So each client has, we call it a food flyer. It's kind of a thick brochure, if you will, and it has all the pictures listed in there of what kind of cereal is WIC approved, what kind of juice is WIC approved, what kind of bread they can purchase, those kind of things. And so they can get from us milk, eggs, cheese, peanut butter, canned beans, dried beans, bread, tortillas, brown rice, the infant formula and the baby food I talked about. Pregnant women can get, and breastfeeding women can get, an enhanced food package, so that allows them a little more leeway, such as like tuna or salmon. And then everybody, except for the babies, gets an extra check called a cash value voucher. And that one has a set dollar amount based on what participant type they are. And they can use that to purchase fresh or frozen fruits and vegetables at the store.
And so does everybody get that? You just told me. But
yes.
Everybody gets
everybody that. But the babies get
but
that
the
check.
Get that. Okay. And so it sounds like the people at the checkout line have to know all of this.
They do. They have to go through a lot of training, and it's very confusing for the vendors and the clerks at the checkout line and for our clients sometimes, too. So it's a learning process.
Okay, so everybody has to learn.
Yes.
And so what about, so the clerk can kick something back, say, you can't have that?
Yes. Yes, they can. If they think that it's not WIC approved, then we can't purchase it with the WIC checks. Oftentimes, though, the client is very well educated. We do our best to make sure they understand how the process works and they understand what they can purchase. And usually they are correct. And so if they have an item there and the clerk isn't sure about it, then they get the store manager and there's a little dialogue about whether it's WIC approved or not, whether it's allowed. And so then they figure it out. And if there are questions, then they call us.
Well, now, if the grocery store lets them buy something that's not approved, do they not get reimbursed? The grocery store, could they take a hit?
Right. Yes, that's correct. They don't receive any money for that.
So everybody better know what they're doing.
Yes, that's right.
Hence the education.
Yes.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about hunger in Marion County with Julie Miller, coordinator of the Women, Infants, and Children's Programs at Marion County Public Health. Now, how many people are we talking about? How many women and infants and children?
Yeah, 51% of all children in the country, ages 0 to 3, are on the WIC program.
51%?
Yes.
Are eligible or on?
Are on.
51% across the country?
Mm-hmm.
Half of all of our kids are on WIC?
Ages 0 to 3, yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Statistically, usually 50% of all infants born in the United States are WIC participants also.
Actual participants?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's an incredible amount. Half of the children born are WIC eligible. No, they're WIC participants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, first it says something about the ability of the program to get out and reach the community, but it also says something terrible about the economy.
Right.
Do you know how long this has lasted?
Our biggest growth was in 2009, where nationally we had over 9 million participants in our program. We've seen, yeah, it was a busy, busy year that year. We had a big spike, and it's kind of downtrended a little bit in recent years. I'm not really sure why. I think some of that, some families thought they were okay without us, and so they went on and were able to supply food for their family without trouble. The other reason I think that the WIC enrollment went down was because the SNAP funding at the federal level increased, and so people were able to get more money without, you know, having to sit through an appointment and have these checks and have to go through the grocery store and all these foods. So there has been a little downtrend, but it's starting to pick back up again now, just recently.
Now, I know I have some people in the audience that are thinking, well, if 50% of the infants are and children are on this that are born, then maybe the standards are too low. Do you think that we're giving this money, we're giving these resources to people that shouldn't have them? Is that a possibility?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we are pretty strict about our income guidelines and who can be on the program and who can't. Right now we do 185% of poverty level is what is eligible for WIC. And also if anyone is receiving Medicaid or Title 19, then they're automatically eligible for WIC.
And Title 19 is?
The Medicaid program for people ages 0 to 21.
So 185% of poverty level. So what kinds of money are we talking about, let's say, for a woman and one child?
Well, I can look in here and tell you really quick. It would be $27,000 a year or less
for a
family of two.
For a family of two. Mm-hmm. And how about for a family of four?
It would be about $41,000 a year or less for a family of four.
I know I have some people in the audience that are thinking that's too high. But you don't think so, the way things are today, what rent is? What does it cost?
No.
Do you have any estimates what it costs somebody just to pay the bills? Or
I have no idea. I know from a personal standpoint, it can get pretty difficult at times. So, you know, if you have families who have one parent working or no parents working due to not being able to find a job, you know, certainly it's going to be rough. With the income guidelines, some people might think, well, that's just too high. That's just too much. But, you know, in this day and age, when you've got kids, kids cost a lot of money to provide the things that they need, and the federal government is who sets our guidelines. So it's not, you know, state by state. We don't pick and choose who gets on or how long they stay on or how they get on. It's a federal mandate. So we just wait. Every year they update those, and then so in April we'll know again if they're going to stay the same or if they will increase or decrease.
Well, and then we have in Marion County 6% unemployment around that, and around 9% nationally. What happens to those people that are unemployed?
That's a good question. I don't know what happens to those people. We see a lot of them. They come in cycles, you know. They are with us until they are able to find gainful employment, and then they usually drop off, and we don't see them again for a while until they need us. But, you know, I don't know how unemployment runs anymore, if they're on for a certain amount of time or if it's been extended or how long those benefits are, you know, you're able to access them before they run out. So that's got to be a big issue for some families.
When they run out.
Right. Yeah.
Well, my brother-in-law had the same employee for 39 years and then lost his job in the downsizing and his ran out.
Yeah.
I mean, so it happens to people. It happens
sure.
to good people that have worked hard their whole lives.
Right.
And is your new facility working out here in Knoxville? And
yes,
the
it's
north
working.
Of town?
Yes, it's working very nicely. We do miss being uptown. The easier access, you know, for folks to walk to clinic was very nice. But out here, there's plenty of adequate parking and plenty of room for them to move around. And everybody's got their own private office to visit with folks when they come for appointments. And the feedback has been very positive. Everybody said it's very nice, and they really like that they're coming out here for their appointments. So it's been a great experience so far.
Now, any final thoughts you'd like to share? First, I'll ask you to direct them two ways. One is just to the community in general, and then two, to the women that may need help.
Sure. For the community in general, I would just say, please just be supportive of the nutrition programs, the SNAP program and the WIC program if you can. If you know somebody that might qualify for that program or you think might be interested in that, please mention that to them. You know, this is a safety net for kids who are hungry. Our programs are, you know, able to help them, and we want to be able to help as many people as we can. For any moms who might be listening, if you think you might qualify or you have any questions, you can reach me here at the Marion County Public Health Office, and that number is 641-828-2238, and my extension is 225. I would be happy to visit with anybody about any questions, any concerns, anything, anytime.
Thanks to Julie Miller for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.